So we here at Godzilla Evangelists have just found out some sad news, as I'm sure most of you know, which is that Kong vs. Godzilla has been delayed for the third time. You know what? In a way, though, it's kind of fine because the longer it takes to come out.
Build up the hype.
Yeah, exactly. It's this. You know what? I'm just gonna say it now. This is gonna be the best of the three.
You think so?
I'm staking my claim out.
Should we put money on it?
Sure. Let's make a low stakes bet right
Okay,
now.
25 bucks. It's
Wait,
not.
Against
How do
me?
you bet on an opinion?
We'll have a democratic ruling, and if two out of three people deem it the best, then we'll just go with that.
But see, that doesn't work because we all have money in the game.
Oh.
So instead of doing that, let's talk about The Empire Strikes Back.
All right.
Yeah, a movie that isn't being pushed to 2021 because it came out 45 years ago-ish. 40? 40 years
40.
ago-ish.
40 on the dot. Yes, this is welcome to the second episode of Jedi Evangelists, as I guess we're calling it by default.
Ba-da-ba-ba. Do we get new avatars Star Wars themed for these mini episodes?
If you're willing to each give me $100,
Have we
sure.
encountered the traveling space reporter from the Star Wars series yet? The one who takes photos and says, "Big news story, Empire has taken over another planet. I did not know what these Wookiees were saying, but what I can assume is that I, being Raymond Burr, am smarter than all of them."
Man, Raymond Burr in a Star Wars movie. But yes, we had so much fun last time, we decided to go ahead and watch some more, starting with one of my favorite movies ever, not just Star Wars movies, The Empire Strikes Back.
Ba-da-da-ba,
No, no, for this one, you gotta do boom,
Oh,
boom,
yeah.
boom, 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 boom.
That's Chewie interrupting.
Yeah. Anybody who has known me in the last 6 years, I think it's been 6 years, maybe even more. My ringtone has always been the same. It's been the Miko disco version of The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, wow. That is precious. Mine is an Avett Brothers song. Classic. Very on brand for both of us.
Gosh, where do we start? I guess we just kind of talked about anything last time, so I guess we may as well do that again. We can start by talking about the new characters, maybe. In Empire, you get a couple lovely new faces. One of which is, of course, the ever charming Lando Calrissian.
What a stud.
Joanna,
He's a
very charming
he
man.
is.
Cute.
Joanna, out of curiosity, one, how do you feel about Lando? And two, as the only one who hadn't seen this movie previously, what did you think of this movie? But Lando first.
I thought it was great. Oh, yeah, Lando first. I thought, okay, Lando, I was like, oh, hey, who is this guy? And then I was like, oh, no, he's a bad guy? And then I was like, oh, no, wait. All right, back being a fan.
Even though it bugs me so much how he says Han, and he's the only character in the movie who pronounces it that way. He doesn't say Han, he says Han.
Oh, I just figured that's because, like, they're close pals, so he's got some in no one else has.
Maybe that's the correct pronunciation, and Han is just too polite to correct everyone else.
Yeah, and only Lando knows.
Only Lando knows from back in the day. But you're right. I guess that's where we should have started. As the only one who hasn't seen it before, how did you feel about it overall, Joanna?
I thought it was so much fun and so great, and so many elements that I was like, weird that this wasn't included in the first one. But I guess they needed to like set the groundwork. But just, I mean, Yoda, everything he's introducing, the fact that that's it just elevate. It's just interesting to watch and be like, this feels more like the movie that would be a cultural phenomenon. Like, what was so special about the first one? The first one seems like pretty basic while I was watching it and comparatively. But yeah, I guess you have to kind of set some ground rules. And Luke, still, I'm like 30 going on 12, but you know, nothing may ever change there.
Oh, I think by the time the movie ends, maybe he's grown up a little. Maybe he's 30 going on 16.
A little, but that love triangle is complicated. But yeah, I loved all the different worlds they introduced. I think, like we said last time, when they go to that groovy jazz bar, that's a cool world they introduced. It was really fun in the beginning of this one to see the ice one and then the Yoda one. I don't know the names of them, but you know what I mean.
You mean Hoth and Dagobah?
Wait, but
yeah,
here's,
that's the thing.
Here's the thing that's always bothered me. Hear me out. So we've always just assumed Hoth is the ice planet and Dagobah is the swamp planet. But Earth is the all of those things planet. Like, are we sure Hoth isn't just, like, mostly a normal... You know, it's like, it's just like Earth. It's like, they just happen to be on the snowy part of it. It's an entire planet.
That would hold water if we didn't see the entirety of both planets from the atmosphere.
What I'm suggesting is that that's silly. Fight me on it. Can you imagine... An entire planet that is only snow all the time? It makes me think that, like, most of it is...
Isn't Pluto all ice?
Well, right, but nobody lives on Pluto.
Nobody lives on Hoth.
A whole bunch of rebels just did. For a hot second.
Only because they had their little shield generator keeping them toasty warm.
Yeah, or the inside of a Tauntaun.
Yeah. And inside of the Tauntaun, such a cute yes. little kangaroo. Yeah, this movie felt like you'd leave the theater and you'd be like, wow, that was a fun roller coaster, and I got to see what's going to happen next. I was much more interested throughout the entirety of it.
Yeah.
And I'm down to watch it again, which I don't always say. Wow. Like, watch it again and again, maybe.
That's how I feel. I mean, there is a lot to love about this movie. This is the ultimate Star Wars movie, and I won't go on a whole tirade because I'm just gonna keep dropping compliments throughout this episode. So I'll just say right now how much I love it and slowly drip feed why I love it. But yeah, you're right. I think we alluded to this last time, how this introduced like so many iconic Star Wars things that you don't realize didn't come in the first movie, and then you're like, oh yeah, it's this one. You get a lot more of the Force about what it is and what it can do. Yoda.
A way better fight.
Yes, the Imperial March, the first real lightsaber fight.
You get Butthole Eyes Emperor Palpatine.
Yes, if you watch the theatrical version.
Which is, I prefer.
Yeah, was the Emperor in the last one? I couldn't remember. He didn't have enough of... Okay, yeah, watching this, I was like, what the fuck were they doing in the first movie that none of this got brought up?
Like, I mean, that's the thing, is that despite what George Lucas likes to pretend sometimes, none of this was planned. Like, the first one was just its own thing, and then this just built on it, but built on it in such an excellent way that it could be the best sequel of all time.
Right, props to all the ghostwriters who got added on after the fact to help with this one. Because it really, again, not knowing much, only knowing, like, tentpole cultural things about it, I felt more like settled in when this one started. Like, oh yeah, I know Star Wars now, even though I've only seen, you know, like, oh, I'm ready to watch. I know these people. And then it was just very fun and enjoyable throughout.
Yeah, you have a script by, I mean, George Lucas came up with the story, but the script was by Lee Brackett and Lawrence Kasdan, who are both great writers. So you have a lot more lively of a story, a lot better dialogue.
Yeah. There's still, I think if I had a dollar for every time Han said sweetie, I could probably run for president. I was like, okay, is this guy a creep, a perv? Are they together? What is happening here? It was a lot. It was a lot. That Lando came in hot too. I was like, everyone calm down, all right? There's like only one female on any planet they're on. Like, we gotta even this shit out so everyone can calm the fuck down. Wait, guys, my AC turned back on. I'm going to turn it off really quick.
Sorry.
All right. Pause.
Okay. Damn it.
I'm back. Sorry.
That's hard. All right. Well, and we're back.
I'm going to have to find some way to work your amazing Star Wars mouth kazoo into the episode. It's definitely people are coming on strong to Leia, but I mean, I feel like you could tell she is completely interested in Han from the word go.
Oh, well, that's what, in the very first, that first look, I wrote, ooh, spicy, something's going to happen here. And then two sentences later, I was like, I don't know, it feels a little creepy, it feels like a little much. But then they kissed, and I was like, ooh, and then I was back on board. But still confused at everything by the end of it.
Yeah, it's definitely...
She's playing both fields, I'll tell you that much. Not that I can argue, but, you know, she is.
You know, it's fair enough when you have so much choice out there. Yeah, exactly. And you're the only woman. I love the line. It gets me every time when, I don't know, they're in the Millennium Falcon and something's shaking and she falls in his lap and she's like, will you let me go? And he says, don't get excited. And she says, being held by you is not enough to get me excited. And he's like, well, we don't have time for anything else. And leaves the room. And she just, like, mouth open in shock. I'm like, that's such a good line.
When I heard that line, I was like, I don't think this would fly today. I was like, I don't think her being like, no, leave me alone, no, leave me alone, no, leave me alone. And then him making that sexual innuendo. I'm like, that's harassment in the workplace. What's going on here? She's just trying to get shit done. I mean, it was a spicy line. I'm just trying to label it, you know?
it's called the force, oh, not the consent. Oh, no.
It's confusing because it is very female forward in some ways with her character. And then in other ways, you're like, what's happening? Like, it's like...
Now that I've thoroughly embarrassed myself.
So can I just say, just to throw in, I wouldn't say it's a negative opinion, but to throw in a little contrasting opinion, I hadn't seen this one in a long time, or any of them. And I remember the last time I watched them, until the last viewing, I thought that this one was clearly the best one. And then on my last viewing, I remember feeling like the original and this one were kind of close mm-hmm. for me. And on this watch, I will say, I think the second hour is a lot better than the first. I definitely like the second half of this movie quite a bit, and I think the first half feels, I don't want to say like treading water, but like it does a little bit, like to me the Han and Leia bickering stuff feels a little bit like the same scene it over does, and over, yeah. And like them and the asteroid is a little like a detour, and there's an awful lot of people just ignoring and mocking C-3PO in the same way for the first half. And Hoth is stunning, but long. And yeah, I definitely think it's the second half of this movie that I'm like, oh, this is the best hour of any Star Wars, hands down.
Sure.
But the first half's still good. It's still good. But it's not, to me, it's a tale of two halves for me. There's definitely the best stuff is all at the end for me.
Well.
That's what I'll say.
I on one hand, I know what you're talking about, but on the other hand, I can't agree at all because I'm just like swept along from like the first scene of this movie. Like the only thing that bumps and where I can completely agree with you is the Wampa diversion, which is clearly just to explain Mark Hamill's different face after being in a terrible car accident. That's the only part where I'm like,
oh man.
Okay, I don't know that this is serving a Wait, great what, story purpose.
What is the Wampa diversion?
Where, you know...
Now I can't even remember.
Right at the beginning of the movie, Luke gets kidnapped by the Wampa and taken back to the cave.
Oh, that.
Yeah, Wait, that...
That was just for explaining his face?
It's been debated over the years, but, like, I don't think it's serving that much of a purpose apart from explaining why Mark Hamill looks so different.
The thing that always, like, the image that stuck in my brain and, like, when I was young watching this movie, like, for some reason just always stuck out as, like, oh, that iconic image from this movie is just after Luke comes back and they have him just, like, in a fish tank in a diaper, like, for one shot. Like, that, him in the tank, like, in the diaper, like, stuck with me and I was, like, starting this movie, I was like, yes, of course, that whole scene where he's in a diaper inside of a tank. And it's, like, a shot that's, like, 4 seconds long. Or maybe a little longer, like, 7. But, like, it's barely in the movie. And for some reason, that really stuck with me as being, like, that's the most important moment in this whole film.
It's basically a transition. But
correct. Yeah, it's not even a seat.
It's funny that you mention it because I actually had a toy of that. I had a toy of the tank, and you could fill it up with water. And
whoa, have that's cool.
Diaper Luke just float in there.
The other thing I think that is actually I shouldn't even say the other thing. My favorite thing about the whole movie, is the running gag of Darth Vader repeatedly firing / killing his like lieutenants.
Yes.
That's the best. Like, that is the best part of the whole movie, is just that thread. I love it so much.
Yeah, I love the, like, the apology accepted, Captain, you know, just the everything about it, the way he says it, and the way the body falls on the floor is fucking hilarious.
I did love C-3PO's running odds joke. I know it was a little overdone, but I thought it really brought such, it was so him on point.
Yeah, I get the perspective of it being overdone, but I think it's intentional. I think they're framing C-3PO as annoying. I think they realized people were annoyed by him in the first movie and just, like, made him this character who you enjoyed seeing mm-hmm. punished. Because he gets punished a lot in this movie.
Oh, poor guy.
Honestly, I didn't love that. On this watch, I sort of kind of like.
No,
C-3PO.
You felt bad about it.
Well, it's not that. It's like it just seemed like they were leaning in. They pushed the button too many times, where it was just sort of the whole movie is him saying stuff that's like being a little naggy, and people just being like, "Fuck you, C-3PO, you suck. Shut your mouth." It's like the whole movie.
And every time he's alone, he's always like, "Oh, I hope they're okay." Yeah. And you're like, oh, poor guy. And when he's a little backpack, I'm like, I want him as a little backpack.
Well, that,
so cute.
That I kind of, like the fact that Chewie carries him around and he's in, like cares enough to sort of half assemble him, like
that
I
moment,
love.
Yeah.
It's like, and I'm saying this as, this is my favorite Star Wars movie, but it does feel like there's a lot of, like, people just kind of being mad at each other, sort of, for a lot of it. I don't mind it. It's still... I still think it's probably the best Star Wars movie. I think it's my favorite.
Well,
though I think the first is really good, so I'm not gonna, you know, I don't want to throw that one to the curb.
Sure. I mean, we just watched it, and I love that as well. But this one is just, it stands above the rest.
It's just shinier. And it just is more special, I feel like, because of the elements of it. Can we talk
about
Yoda? Can we talk about Yoda?
Yes, I was just going to say that. One of the most special elements of this movie. Something I think we'll all agree on. Frank Oz as Yoda is just a stellar performance.
Disagree.
Are you really? Or are you just beat the shit?
No, of course not. Of course Yoda's
I had
great.
No idea what a little... He's totally... trolling Luke for the first 20 minutes. I had no idea. I'm like, who is this? I'm like, this guy's way goofier than he comes across in t-shirts and backpacks that people have. He's like, just very fun. And then when he was like, oh, I'll take you to Yoda, I was like, oh no, it's not him. Okay, that makes sense. This guy's way too much of a troll. And then I was like, no, it is. He was just so great. Yeah, him fighting with R2-D2 over a flashlight, all of it was just... And I think it was funny, too. Right, because I was trying to think, I'm like, I know who's going to come into the picture, you know, when he's like, where is the... where? Like, what are we even here for, R2-D2? So it was... It would just be funny to think back on, like, when people in theaters first saw him.
Yeah, he was excluded from all the posters, all the trailers, all the promotional material, so that people would have a chance to be surprised and... I wish I'd been able to have that moment, because even as a kid, as an 8-year-old anyway, you hear something about Yoda. So I thought the same thing you did as a kid. I was like, oh, so this isn't Yoda? Like,
right.
What's going on? I was tricked a little bit, so it still kind of works.
Well, I just can't believe that, like, to me, that people seeing it for the first time is one thing, but, like, for the filmmakers making this, like, I don't know that I would know... Even if we had exactly, if we were getting exactly that in the can, like, right, and I'm, you know, say I'm Irvin Kershner, like that it's good. Like, it's such a weird stretch to have this, like, little Muppet who's, like, kind of a troll and kind of goofy and is also, like, the wisest thing in the galaxy. Like, just the whole making of like all the decisions that it went in and like what he should look like. And even like, yes, of course, the wisest Jedi speaks like backwards. Like, it just, it all is so crazy that it, like, it's so crazy that it works. It's amazing that they had any kind of foresight or that they got, I guess, probably that combined with some luck. And, you know, but like, can you imagine how easily that could have gone wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
If they made that big of a swing in the wrong direction.
I had the same thought. And I was especially thinking, too, because his lines, obviously, because he's, you know, speaking in these, like, larger tropes, but because of kind of the phrasing of his specific way of talking, it makes it more interesting and unique. But I had the same thought of, like, there had to at least be, like, 2 out of 5 people in the editing room, like, what the fuck am I working on? Like, what is this?
I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, in the making of books, there's a lot of people talking about, like, we were really holding our breath that this was going to work and people were going to believe him as a character. Apparently, Stanley Kubrick came in and watched some of it because the stage that was the Dagobah set was about to become the Overlook Hotel set. He was about to shoot The Shining. And Kubrick, like, gave them confidence that he was going to work. He was like, this is really cool, like, how you're making this character work. So you can thank him for giving them that little push.
It also...
And hopefully he took a little of Yoda and it inspired The Shining in some special little way.
Even though...
I don't know what it would
even
be.
Though Stephen King hated the movie, I'm a fan. I also think that scene where, like, the whole training stuff, it... is like really reminds me of that MTV show Made, because Luke's like, I can be a Jedi, and then he's like, oh no, I can't, it's too hard. Like, that was all of Made. Every episode you ever watched, they're like, I can be a cheerleader, and then they're like, it's too hard. That's how Luke feels. And Yoda's like, oh god. And I just love that it's always Ben. I've only ever heard Obi-Wan, and every time they're just calling him straight up Ben, I'm like, this brings me very specific joy.
Yeah, it is interesting how Luke calls him Ben. I guess maybe that's because he's the name he grew up with, like, gives him some, like, comfort, like he's back home. But Alec Guinness was very reluctantly brought back for this, and he actually had more lines, but he was like, why don't you give them to the little green fellow? He apparently said that, and so they gave some of his lines to Yoda so he wouldn't have to stay on set as long.
He wasn't he, like, shooting by himself? Just, like, in a room alone.
Yeah, just, like up against a black background.
He's
yeah.
like, I don't want to see those children. Don't put me to sleep with them.
Where should my eyeline be for the little goblin man? Over yay high?
But I love Yoda so much in this movie. I obviously don't want to, like, ascribe too much importance to the movie, but I really do, like, feel something when he's talking about the way the Force connects everyone and everything, and it really empowers the Force to feel like it's something special as opposed to just, like, something that does magic tricks, which I think is one of the things that makes Empire Strikes Back, like, the center of the Star Wars legend. Like, the first movie made Star Wars popular, but, like, this movie made Star Wars, like, a legend, and that's one of those key things about it, I think.
Yeah, I think this one really hones in more on, it's not just, like, a physical thing that will help you out, the balance of good and evil between it. And I think you can definitely, I like, you know, with the moment happening right now in the world, definitely listening to it, I was like, oh, I'm getting a little moved here.
Yeah, it's a
speech he's giving.
Such a lovely little guy. In fact, Yoda is the reason, one of the biggest reasons that I don't like the prequels, because he's in all three of them, but he's, like, almost a totally different character, and it bugs the shit out of me.
That is correct.
What is he like in the...
Honestly, like, a not fun version. Like, his edges are sanded off to the point where he's not, like, a silly fun times guy who's wise and kind of crazy. He's, like, kind of serious, and there was this weird thing. I remember being a kid and, like, having seen, you know, obviously he's in this, he's in Return of the Jedi. And I think maybe Phantom Menace had come out, but I remember just having, like all my friends and I being like, we can only imagine Yoda was a badass fighter. Like, he was such a good fighter. Like, that right. guy, like, he could have, like, kicked, you know, he kicked ass because we were, like, eight and, you know, said words we didn't know yet. I don't know why I hate that now so much, because that's kind of, like, what they sort of tried to do with him. And it's, like, I don't know why that now bums me out. Why it's, like, no, he should have just been this, like, wise, you know, kind of like the wise old pacifist yeah. who was always a little like off his rocker.
Are we still planning on watching the prequels? Because we should. I will save it, but if we're not gonna watch them, I'll go off on it now.
I think we should, but if you want to give a point, you just go off on it. Just go off on it. We could cut it and edit if we have to.
Yeah. Ryan, this is a safe space. Just let your rip. Yes, feel your hate. Let it consume you.
I think a big part of it
rip let
is. I'm sorry I talked over that. Oh, man. I think a big part of it is how Yoda acts and the situations he's in the prequels, like, totally undermine all the things that he says in this. Like, you know, one of the most famous lines he says, size matters not, look at me and all the wonderful things I can accomplish for the world. But he gets in a lightsaber fight against, like, a regular human, right? So he has to, like, flip around and jump off the walls to compensate, thereby disproving what he says, because the human guy can just stand there and duel like a normal guy, whereas Yoda has to exert his tiny little body. And, you know, what if the guy he was fighting with the lightsaber was, like, a giant four-armed monster? Yoda would get cut into a million pieces. And he also is evenly matched by a lot of evil characters in the prequels, which I don't like. I feel like he should have been the most powerful Jedi out there, just because he has that total connection to the Force. And as someone as serene and in connection with nature as Yoda, should express the Force in more natural, healing sort of ways instead of being like a badass warrior and fighting and trying to slice people in half and absorb lightning and all that kind of stuff.
It's actually crazy that in Attack of the Clones, he picks up a skateboard and does a kickflip and says, shred on, I do. It's wild. But I say this as a really stupid joke that doesn't work, but it's not that far off from what he does in the fight. It's like all these like flips and like he does some cool like posy moments where he does like he strikes a pose. And I remember being in the theater and being like so, like, you know, I would have been what? 9?
Yeah, 9. Yeah.
Yeah, when it came out and being like loving it, like laughing and being like, yes, finally that Yoda fight we all wanted where he does like 5 backflips in a row. And like I have more recently seen it and been like, oh, I don't like this. Also, it's very silly. It really isn't a good fight. I'll go to the grave on that. I think that it's actually like a really not a great fight, but you know.
And it's the last action scene of that movie, which is
it puts a
huge damper over everything. Not that what came before was great, but anyways, we're talking about Empire.
Like, literally the flashlight fight with R2-D2 will stick in my mind. Like, that's toddler's fight. Like, what was that? But I loved it. I was like, this is a riot.
He's so cute, especially when he takes a bite out of Luke's, like, little ration stick, that is. I don't know, just Yoda taking a little tiny bite out of that dried sausage or whatever just is so cute.
Should we talk about Vader in this movie?
Hell yeah. I love how he's off the chain in this one. Like, in the first one, he's sort of under the thumb of Grand Moff Tarkin. And in the next one, the Emperor is always watching what he does. But in this one, he's just, like, free to pursue his agenda, which is tracking down his son.
Yeah, I was going to say, this one made me get more why. Like, the last movie, I felt real weird. I was like, who the hell is this boss of his? What the fuck's going on? Why does he have this, like, manager who's really annoying? So it was nice to see him on his own. Also, didn't expect Father Lime to come up so soon.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the next movie for sure. And then I was confused because are they brother and sister still? I'm like about 90% certain on that one. But then when they say there's another one who the Force is strong in, is it her? There are a lot of questions, a lot of kind of pitches they throw up and like don't fully take a whack at them in this film. So
yeah, this is another one of those things that's been like hidden in the official story for many years, but there are definite setups in this movie for if actors didn't come back, because they hadn't all signed up for the third movie yet. So some of the things are setups with no clear answer, and then in the third one they come up with, you know, very quick answers, because of course everyone did sign up for the third movie. But yeah, I won't answer that question for you, because you'll see in the third movie.
I was a little disappointed in the fight between him and Luke. I thought that it shouldn't have been so even keel for that long. I was like, I don't know, Darth Vader seems kind of weak. Like, I saw Luke practicing. I get the Force is strong with him, but I did not see it in action, and I didn't believe it. I don't think he earned it.
Well, I think Luke is really on only equal footing with him for, like, the first half, and then he's just, like, desperately getting battered further and further back. I love that fight. It's my favorite lightsaber fight in the whole trilogy. It's I once did an editing breakdown for film school, because that's just the kind of nerd I am. And I was like really impressed with how well the editing in that scene builds towards that final point where he's trapped out on the edge of the weather vane or whatever the hell that is.
How could he breathe?
Just for contrast... for my college breakdown of an action scene, I don't think it was editing, I think it was for a directing class, but for an action scene that really spoke to me was a breakdown of the toy train chase in Wallace and Gromit: The Wrong Trousers. which I will.
But it's also an incredibly well edited.
It's unbelievable. It's the best action scene in like anything. But it I just wanted to provide a little contrast here. Also, everyone else, my recollection was that in that class, everyone else showed a scene from The Dark Knight or The Avengers or Drive, because Drive was new. It was Dark Knight, Avengers, Drive, and then one Wallace
Sounds
and Gromit.
About right.
I hope you got an A+.
But yes, the fight is great, and also, good lord, that production design of every room that they are in is just awesome. Like the best. This is the biggest, I think, point in this movie's favor, and also why I'm extra disappointed that they had to go and CGI and, you know, and mess with everything is everything visually, like both production design and visual effects wise for its time, looks so great in this movie. And it's just, you know, Cloud City looks awesome, and you didn't need to add CG, you know, background matte paintings and windows to all those hallways. Like, they look great as they are. It looks so good. Yeah.
I was shocked.
I completely agree. There's a shot of, like, snowspeeders flying over the snow in Hoth, and, like, the Millennium Falcon approaching Cloud City, and both times I was like, man, I want to go there. I just want to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Hoth was so cool. I thought, I was shocked, because it's only 3 years later, right, that this film was released. I was shocked at, like, the increase. I mean, obviously, maybe budget is tied to that, but it was very impressive. I thought, too, when they were escaping and they were in that asteroid field and then they were suddenly flying, like, right parallel and into the asteroid, I thought that even looked cool. I was like, damn, this would be so cool to see in theaters. Now I feel like that's kind of a shot we're used to, but at that point, I was like, I don't know, it might have felt newer. And very pretty. I think the film did a good job too of, I don't know if it felt more serious, but like dramatizing specific little moments, like when they're in that asteroid and there's a moment she's sitting there kind of by herself and it's all dark, and I looked it up and Alien had just come out the year before, but very much got like spooky alien vibes for a quick minute. I was like, oh, this is like kind of dark. This is much darker than I'm used to for this one. And it's really effectively working in being, you know, having me on edge.
You sort of lightly touched on another thing I love, which is that it takes your expectations from the first movie and handles them so well. Because on one hand, you get to see like more of what you love a little bit. You get to see these characters in a new adventure. But on the other hand, it takes it in unexpected ways. Like in the first movie, they got out of basically every situation unharmed. They would escape at the last minute. And this one, they fail over and over again. They lose their base to the Empire. Luke loses his lightsaber fight. Han gets frozen in carbonite and hauled off to Jabba. And it's playing with the expectations is all really, really effective. And I also appreciate that the characters aren't just like repeating what they did in the first movie. Like they're continuing on their arcs. It's like the next step.
Yeah, I agreed. I agree. And I think this movie builds out that idea of the first one. Thinking back on it, yeah, it did feel very like, okay, it's just like these three people and they're going to save everything. This one was much more of a build out of the whole world and team they need behind them to do anything.
Well, yeah, and there's also, to both of your points, I think that the first movie doesn't really have, I don't want to say it doesn't have any dramatic scenes, but most of the scenes are generally, you know, most everything is tied to, hey, where are we headed next? Like, what's the next thing we got to go do? And in this, there are scenes where people are just hanging out, talking to each other about their feelings, which isn't a thing that ever happens in the first movie. you know, it's just,
there are
scenes that are about something other than the quest, I guess is what I would say. Although it's still pretty questy. You know, there's enough quest for everyone who wants it.
It's still pretty questy, but there's a much greater depth of feeling, yeah. I think is what you're saying, and that's totally true. One new character we haven't talked about, and I have a feeling both of you are either going to be like, who? Or roll your eyes. But I love Boba Fett so much. I know the Boba Fett backlash has come around and everybody likes to decry him as a lame character, but I don't care. I'm out and proud. I'm a Boba Fett lover.
Yeah, you do gotta remind me who that is.
He's the bounty hunter in the green armor who tracks down.
Oh, I was gonna say, he was my favorite character as a child in any Star Wars. He was number one. He was my main man. I was like, wow, that guy who barely says anything and has kind of like a smoker's voice, he's my favorite. And I stand by it. He's great.
He had a cool costume. Yeah. He has a cool costume.
You just kind of see him and you're like, ooh, I'm intrigued by this fellow. This bounty hunting guy in armor.
And I love how he's a professional at every turn. Like he sees through Han's trick to float away with the garbage. He's the only one who realizes that Luke is following them when he's in Cloud City and he turns around and fires off a couple blasts. He's just like a consummate pro.
He's kind of like Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yep. No, I was going to just say that he was my main man in Star Wars Epic Duels, the board game. Ryan, do you remember this?
I loved that game.
Yeah, I want to get a hold of it because my friends and I played that so much, and I don't know if it exists anymore, but we played it to the point where, like, I know still all of the cards that every character has, and so I kind of want to, like, find it. Yeah, but I'm sure it's, like, very expensive now. But yeah, he was my main character. It was him, and it was, who was his sidekick?
Well, I can tell you that I had a fan-made expansion that I did.
We made an expansion. Ryan, we made our own cards.
Oh my god, you nerds! Ryan, nerd alert!
I can almost guarantee you that you didn't make a Jabba the Hutt as one of your fan-made characters.
It was the Rancor Jabba's secondary?
No, I had him with two Gamorrean guards. I didn't go that crazy. That does sound like something I do, because I guarantee Jabba was super overpowered. Like, whatever I did, he definitely was, like, way more powerful.
I can't remember who we made. If it was, I know it was another character. I just don't know if it was if we also made, like, additional cards for all the characters. Because it wasn't very well balanced. I'm so sorry, Joanna and everyone who's listening and is like, what is going on? It wasn't well designed in that there was real variance in characters being way better than each other. It was like, you know, like Luke and Leia were just way better than Han and Chewie. Like you would just always win if you used Luke and Leia. Like Oh, we made a General Grievous one when the new right. movie came out. Anyway, I am off the subject now. You may proceed, Brian.
You know what? We should do a live stream where we all just play Star Wars Epic Duels.
Well, like, was the I love you moment I know earned also? My constant question is, was it earned in this movie? And
well, it sounded like you had some issues with the Han-Leia relationship that I don't.
Love? I don't know. I was like, lust, for sure. Some strong sexual tension there, but I don't know if I got to love, but I, or maybe I just like think he's such a jackass. I know. I'm like, oh God.
Well, apparently, I don't know if this is true, but apparently that was a Harrison Ford suggestion that I believe that the line as written was, I love you too.
Okay,
and he was like,
yep.
Han wouldn't say that. He'd say, I know you do.
God, yeah. Is he a dick in real life? I forget. Did we say that he sucks IRL?
He's definitely a grumpy guy. Anyway, the Making of the Empire Strikes Back, the J.W. Rinsler book, which I completely recommend anybody who likes this movie. It's really cool. There's like a 5-page breakdown that's like taken a transcript from an on-set tape where it's Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, and Irvin Kershner like all trying to negotiate it out, and Carrie Fisher is pissed. She's like, why are you changing the lines? Like,
for
I don't get
part?
What this is about. Yeah.
Yes.
And
get it.
It's also very funny because Billy Dee Williams and David Prowse, who plays Darth Vader, both interrupt at various points. And David Prowse is like completely oblivious to what's going on. And he's like, hey, I just came out with this bodybuilding book. Like, do you want a copy? And Irvin Kershner's like, not now, dude.
Also, keep in mind that he doesn't have a voice anything like James Earl Jones. He's just like, hey guys, what's up? I'm Darth Vader. Hey, have a book.
Yeah, he's got like apparently a thick Northern English accent.
Yes.
And it's muffled behind the mask probably. Like,
oh,
I got
God.
This bodybuilding book. I don't know if you want to see it.
I was born in the darkness.
See, all of this, I think too, just knowing that this movie came out in the same time as Alien, it's just like, oh, it just sucks because her character has so many, like, yeah, we're leaning towards totally showing strong female lead, but then there's just so many times she's just like cut kind of by his actions or words.
I'm going to put on my listening hat instead of my arguing hat. Because I am a man.
No,
so while I disagree, I would like to hear more about why you feel like he's not valuing her properly.
Only in that I know comment. Just hearing that Carrie Fisher as an actor was like, oh, come on. Can you not throw me that? It's like the whole time in the film, she's being told, you feel this way about me. And he never listens to what she's saying. So in that moment, too, for it not to be an equal exchange of love, but it to be this kind of like, I know, I won. It's like, can we just have it be equal? Like, if it is love, then it's equal.
To be fair, the I know isn't supposed to be like a smug thing.
That's
it's supposed
true.
To be like
okay.
a kind of thing. Like he's always known.
Okay, those are just my thoughts.
They're fair.
Yeah, as written, it was actually he was about to get frozen, and she opens her mouth to say something, and he says, "Yeah, I know you're about to say you love me, and yeah, I know I'm about to get frozen right now. I don't know if you know how freezing works, but I have to get below a certain temperature, centigrade." Chewie will fly the ship for you because I know
man.
You can't control it yourself. He's a licensed pilot. You just sit in the back.
I don't know, this is a little thing, but it always gets me when Luke says, I'm not afraid, and Yoda says, you will be, and then he repeats it but in like a lower octave than he says any other line
yeah.
in the movie, and he's like, you will be.
I kind of love that.
That's like the freakiest
thing. Like, I like that they're giving appropriate dread to, you know, they're foreshadowing. There are a couple good, oh boy, I am such a nerd. There are a couple moments that are really good story moments in this that are like higher level story techniques than would ever be in the first one. And that's one of them, of just like they really foreshadow the how badly things are going to go at the end in a variety of ways. And there's also the part where you think Luke's going to die, and then the way we find out he's going to live, and that basically he lives, is Obi-Wan Kenobi showing up and just telling him some stuff like, yeah, you got to go meet with Yoda. Like, and like while he's about to freeze. And like, I kind of love that too, where you're like, oh, he is going to live. Okay. I don't know how, but like, here's some more things for you to do. Yes, but I'm freezing to death. Like, I like that as well. It's a cool way to, like, rather than it just be like, we wait for someone to come save him. It's like they have someone show up in a vision and be like, here is your next task. You know, it's nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I like to, I think, after his combo with his pops, once he finds that out and he's saved by Chewie and Lando and Leia, like, in that moment when they're at the in the cockpit, like, when he goes, it's Darth Vader, he says this line right there, right next to it, he looked very tired. And not just tired as in he's been through a lot physically, he looked old tired, like, I've seen a lot now. So I did appreciate that from him.
Do you know what?
Kind of maturity.
Yeah. As long as we're talking about good little subtle storytelling things.
Yeah.
I really like how Luke has a vision of the future and he's like, I see Han and Leia in pain. And then later, Darth Vader tortures them, but without asking them any questions. And you realize without being told, you're like, ah, okay. Vader is like specifically taking advantage of Luke's connection to the Force to make him come here and see this. And I'm like, that's great. And they never spell it out for you.
What if he was like, I see Han and Leia in pain, and then Yoda's like, no, that's pleasure. They like that. Nope, didn't work. What I was trying to suggest is that he doesn't know what sex is, and that he's like, wow, they're doing something scary and awful, and I can't figure out what it is. And Yoda has to, like, explain it to him. He's like, listen, Luke, you don't know what's going on. It's about time someone tells you. they're being attacked by a sheet monster.
Why is Leia screaming so loud?
And Yoda's now used in all sex education courses across the country.
I want to be taught many things by Yoda, but not how to have sex.
I don't know that I want sex ed with Yoda.
So we've talked about Empire for a nice long while here, but let's close out on who our favorite character is. Which one made us feel most at home in this Star Wars-y universe today?
I'll go. So growing up, Boba Fett and Yoda were my favorite characters in any Star Wars. And I had good taste because they're really great. And I also like Lando. those are my big three. I feel like there's like a random small appearance, you know, maybe the asteroid tapeworm doesn't get enough love. I think I'm gonna just stick with my guns and say I like Boba Fett. I see that guy in a limited amount of time, and I think that guy, he's got a story, and I want to know what he's about. And now we know because they made The Mandalorian, which is just Boba Fett fan fiction, sort of.
Sort of. I mean, in the prequels, they gave Boba Fett pretty much the most uninteresting backstory ever, which makes me sad, but he is extremely cool in this movie. So you took Boba Fett. I already talked a lot about Yoda earlier. I'd probably say Yoda is like the star of this movie, but I really just do love Darth Vader. That's such good acting between David Prowse, Bob Anderson, who did most of the stunt fights, and James Earl Jones. Like, behind this blank mask, you can see so much anger and frustration and disappointment. And I don't know how they did it, but they did. And you're right, the running joke of him killing various officers is very funny. There's also a moment where they're in the asteroid belt and he's like talking to a bunch of them, and there's a shot of an asteroid hitting the bridge of a Star Destroyer, and then it cuts to all the little holograms on his desk, and one of them like holds up his arms and then just disappears, which is a very funny joke. But anyway, Darth Vader is such a great villain in this movie.
I love Yoda. I mean, I think I was so surprised by his crotchety old trolling and how his wise words really do sink in and are timeless. But Chewie really stole my heart. All those Chewie, C-3PO, and R2-D2, I love them all. But Chewie, how full force he is about everything he cares about, and then him taking C-3PO and putting him as a little backpack. And he's so smart. Like, he knows so much about mechanics. How does he? I just think he's a really great addition to the team. And his grumpiness reminds me of my cat in a weird way. So that's why I'm a fan of him too. Yeah, they're all... I also just think props to this, you know, franchise for creating these characters who... Some of them don't speak, and you know, but they're very so effective, and your heart really goes out to them.
Yes, they live on in your hearts, and I think your choice of Chewbacca hit on one more salient point I think we can make here, which is that the core of this movie, Empire, is about giving love and defending your friends, even when there's so much danger, when you can lose so much by doing it. It's still the ultimate reward is friendship. As we see when they're all holding hands and looking out at that beautiful nebula at the end.
Yeah, if I was 12, I would for sure, maybe 8, be buying like some little figurines from this film, which I feel like gives it an A level grade. Best ship is friendship.
Not how we grade movies on this podcast, but yeah.
Today it's an A. If you haven't yet, leave a nice comment or review wherever you like to listen. That would really help us out. That's it for this show, but we'll see you soon. In the meantime, keep spreading the word of Godzilla.